Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Hi, and welcome to A Taste of the Past here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org, your half-hour journey through culinary history. And I'm your host, Linda Palaccio. Today, we're going to be talking about the history of pretzels. April 26th, I've heard, is National Pretzel Day. Who knew, right? A day devoted to the history of pretzels, or to the celebration of pretzels and eating of pretzels. And it's interesting because there's so much folklore involved and surrounding the history of pretzels. We know they have been around for a long time. For all we know, maybe 1,400 years. But there's so little documentation and lots of stories that we can only go by what we hear. And what we're going to hear today is from someone who should know a little bit about the history, Hans Rockenwagner. Hans was born in Germany, and he is a chef, a restaurateur, an entrepreneur, a baker, and he now has the Rockenwagner Bakery Group, and pretzels are one of the large sellers at that bakery, I'm hearing. Maybe a chocolate pretzel? Who knows? And Hans is here to share with us some of the history that he knows of pretzels, but certainly to tell us how he makes a great pretzel. And all of his food has been very great. Hans, when he first started his restaurant in America, he had been cooking in Europe prior to that. But in 1984, he came to America and opened a restaurant in California called Restaurant Rockenwagner. And it rose to such critical acclaim that he earned the Rising Chef of America by the James Beard Society and the 1994 Robert Mondavi Award for Culinary Excellence and one of the best restaurants in America in 2000 by Gourmet Magazine. So very wonderful honors indeed. And Hans, welcome to the show. I'm so happy that you were able to join me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is such a great subject, and I can't wait to share some stories with you.
Great. Now, are you actually from Bavaria?
No, I'm from the southern part of Germany, to the border of France and Switzerland. And historically, those two regions always duked it out for who had the better pretzel. Was it the Swabian pretzel or was it the Bavarian pretzel? Well, obviously, the Swabian pretzel won because that's our pretzel.
Ah, well, you know, it's interesting because an America just adopted this pretzel back in the 1700s, I guess, really. Obviously, in Pennsylvania with the Pennsylvania Dutch, who were largely German, right? And today, still, 80% of the pretzels in America are made in Pennsylvania. I think that's quite phenomenal. But tell me, I know there is also, and I titled the show Tying the Knot. Now, so I'm glad you said you were near Switzerland, because I think that started as a Swiss tradition or a Swiss saying.
Well, there's all kinds of different stories. So the first story has it that the pretzel actually resembles the folded or crossed arms holding the Christ child. So there are lots of religious Christian connotations surrounding the pretzel. Then there's another more sort of another story in which a condemned baker by the king, but the king liked his baked goods so much that he gave him one more chance to redeem himself. if he could come up with a baked good that that was so delicious that he couldn't resist. And number two, it had to show the sun. It had to show sunlight in three places. So he came up with this pretzel shape and had it on a board ready to be baked when a cat ran through the bakery and the board tipped over and the pretzel fell into a lye bath that was used to clean up the bakery. Now he had no more time to make a new one, and he just baked it off, and there was born the pretzel. When he presented it to the king held it up against the sunlight, and it came through in three places, and he was pardoned.
Also, all and that also has the religious connotation of the Holy Trinity, right? The three holes in the pretzel.
Correct. Yeah. Right. I mean, there's it symbolizes. You know, the pretzel is used in so many different ways to symbolize prosperity, peace, new beginnings, and even love. You know, in southern Germany, New Year's Day is generally the biggest day for bakers because they have to make all these sweet pretzels, which are offered the first day of the year, for good luck and fortune. In Luxembourg, for instance, on the fourth day of Lent, boys give the girls pretzels, and there it is, the size of the pretzel that symbolizes how much he likes her. So there's so many different ways that the pretzels are used to in mostly joyous occasions, you know, for festivals, for gatherings. I also think that the pretzel symbolizes something of sharing because, you know, who can't resist breaking off a piece of the pretzel and sharing it with someone else.
Yeah, especially if someone gives you a very large pretzel. And they are very, usually the soft pretzels are quite large. Well, there was also that the, you mentioned the crossing of the arms symbolizing and holding the Christ child, and that if you take a look at some of the pictures of pretzel boxes, maybe they show a monk with his arms crossed. And there was another tale that little scraps of dough were baked by a monk or a teacher, or we don't know, and given to the students as little gifts or little pretioli. That would be an Italian monk, pretioli being an Italian word. So the derivation of the name pretzel, that has a lot of tales too, right? I mean, whether it was from pretioli, pretzel, or from the braccioli, the arms being crossed, which would be pretzel. Is it often referred to, is it bretzel in German?
Well, in German, it's depending on what area you are, it's the pretzel with a P or the bretzel with a B.
Mm-hmm.
Bavaria has the pretzel with a B, or Brezen. Even there are so many different names for it. Look, what we've done at Rock and Ragnar Bakery, we've come up with a lot of our own pretzel traditions. For instance, in 1989, we were sitting around, we were making our first pretzels, and we were having lunch with the chef, and there were a couple of pretzels, and I said, hey, this would be fun to make a burger out of it. So we started making pretzel burgers in 1989.
Well, I was actually going to ask you about that when we talked about some of the modern iterations. So 1989, you were making the pretzel bun, huh?
Because there's one pretzel bun, which is a knot, and it's literally a string that's double knotted and then baked off, and it makes one delicious, delicious bun. And we had that sitting around during lunch while we were drawing up menus and stuff. And I just said to one of the chefs, hey, just put a burger on this. And there was born, I believe, the first pretzel burger. I like to claim that as my own.
Well, I'll give it to you for all that's worth. You know, and you bring up an interesting point that it's baked many different ways. And that it's delicious. You talked about the religious connotations. It was for a long time, and maybe still is, I don't know, a very common or like the food to eat on Good Friday, and it was an acceptable Lenten food to eat because there were no eggs in the dough.
Yeah, it was an unleavened dough. and it had no dairy or eggs.
So it was acceptable.
And therefore, it could be consumed during Lent.
Interesting. And by and large, all the pretzels were made by hand, were they not? I mean, and many
are. Even now we produce all of our pretzels by hand. It's a time consuming work because the dough is very, very elastic and it stretches back to its original shape. So basically what you start out is with a ball of dough, and then between your tabletop, a butcher block tabletop, and at the palms of your hands, you roll it back and forth into a string. The preferred way is by having sort of a thick belly and very thin ends.
Mm.
And this has to be done several times because the gluten in the dough will want to stretch back. So what you do is you start with a ball, you stretch it, you let it sit to relax the dough. Then you get back to it again after a few minutes and stretch it a little more. You let it rest again, and then the final stretch comes, and after which then it is braided into a pretzel.
All right. Well, now, I know the dough is very delicious. There's a particular restaurant my husband and I go to, and in the bread basket there's always pretzel bread, and he dives right in for that. And he said, oh, it's my favorite. It tastes so good. And I'm thinking, oh, well, it's just because there's a little sprinkling of salt on top that you like it. He said, no, it tastes different. It's good. So what is in the dough? How does it differ from, let's say, any other kind of roll or dough, bread?
Yeah. The original pretzel dough always has a little bit, for lack of a better word, fat in it.
Uh-huh.
Whether or not that is butter, I think the best version is with butter. Sometimes margarine is used and sometimes even lard. I think way back they used lard in it. So that gives it the elasticity and the chewiness. What I really love about a pretzel is it has a distinct earthiness. It has a distinct earthiness flavor, which comes from the lye bath. And this is literally lye, which is acidic. But what happens is when you make shape and proof the pretzel, you dip it into a lye bath, and the lye concentration cannot be more than 6%. After which it gets baked, and in the baking process, the lye gets neutralized. So there's no more acidity or anything, but it's the lye bath that gives it the sheen and the color and the earthiness of the flavor that we like so much of the pretzel.
Mm-hmm. Now, are any of the pretzels treated to boiling prior to baking?
We don't do that. There are certain areas that do boil their pretzels. They're very similar to a bagel.
Right. And that gives it the shiny crust, too, right? And that would give it a shiny crust, more or less, too? Not like a lye bath?
It's more part of the chewiness of it.
Uh-huh. And then baked off. And how is it the lye that gives it sometimes such a dark crust?
Yes. It's the lye gives it the crust, the dark color, and the flavor.
Mm.
It's a very sort of minerally flavor, earthiness. Sometimes I even liken it to like a good wine where you sort of taste the terroir of where the product is from. And I even think sometimes I can taste the soil that comes through the product. It sounds weird, but that's just something that I get out of it.
one big question I had is, long ago, probably back in the 1600s, the hard pretzels were born. And up until this time, everyone is eating a soft bread pretzel, but then a hard pretzel came to be. And of course, there's all kinds of folklore and stories about that as well. What's the difference between the hard pretzels we know and a regular bread soft pretzel?
I love eating hard pretzels, but we don't make hard pretzels. We're in the soft pretzel business. It's a very different dough. I think there's very little leavening in a hard pretzel. I think it makes a great snack. But really, to me, the real thing is a soft pretzel.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was just, I think it was invented to really share it with the masses where it could actually be bagged and sold in quantities throughout the country.
Long shelf life, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
And there are stories that, of course, a baker accidentally fell asleep somewhere in Pennsylvania and burnt the pretzel or cooked it too much until it was crispy. Well, of course, then Pennsylvania has all its pretzel companies. As you said, the bagged pretzels, which, is not shabby. I mean, it's like a multi-million, like $200 million or more. Well, actually, even there's lore surrounding that, too. Whether it's $550 million.
I think it's as high as $500 million.
$500 million a year sold in pretzels, second only to potato chips, right?
Yeah.
As a snack. So, I mean, it's, even though, as you said, well, in a bakery, of course, you make the soft pretzels, but the hard pretzel is something to, you have to recognize it because it's such a huge industry, particularly.
Oh, absolutely.
In America.
And I think the flavor profile is very much the same. You know, the flavor profile still comes from the lie that hard pretzels are dipped in, you know. So the flavor profile is very much the same. And it makes a great snack. I'm not poo-pooing the product at all. I think it's a great product. It's just something that we don't do at Brock and Regan Bakery, but we've looked into it. But the drying out or the hardening of the product, the initial hardening of the product is very easy. What is very difficult to achieve is the longevity.
Right.
Of making it shelf stable.
Well, of course, and of course, these mass producers—they've got machines that, you know, it's not handmade anymore. It's a machine that pumps out these pretzels. I mean, it wouldn't be a viable business if they didn't have a machine that could really make that many. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, the artisanal factor has been. factor has definitely been taken out, and I think it's a vehicle for salt, you know, for the salty snack, and so it lost something in the translation, but yet people love it. You can't fight with $500 million, right?
they're loving
it. But it's interesting because the, as I said before, the artisanal pretzel, much like what you're making at, exactly what you're making at your bakeries, it. The soft pretzel in its different iterations is really making such a comeback. I think you have been instrumental in its renaissance. And certainly New Yorkers would like to claim that they hold stock in the soft pretzel and having pretzel salesmen on every corner. But I think that you have done a lot to help promote this too. And I want to...
I think what it has made, it's come up as part of the artisanal movement. You know, a fresh soft pretzel is made by hand, so there's definitely an artisanal aspect to it that we're seeking out now because it differentiates these products so much from the mass produced product out there.
Mm, indeed, indeed. Well, we're going to talk more about your bakery and some of the items that you make a la pretzel shape when we come back after a short break.
Thank you.
Today's music is Like You Mean It by the California Honey Drops on heritageradionetwork.org. She said, if you want it, go out and get it. And if you love it, hold on to it. Don't you keep it just 'cause you think you need it.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Washed rind cheeses are a fairly recent addition to the repertoires of artisanal cheesemakers in the United States. These cheeses tend to be stinkier than other types and are often high on the list of connoisseurs. Now, Whole Foods Market has come up with one of their own. The raw cow's milk cheese, made by Sprout Creek Farm in Poughkeepsie, New York, is washed with 6-point ale from Red Hook, Brooklyn. The beige sticky rind deepens in color as it ages. The satiny ivory cheese within is mellow, with a sweetly tangy bite and a grassy aroma. The current version features 6-point diesel, which is in limited supply, so stop by and pick up some before it's gone. And point of origin cheese is sold exclusively at Whole Foods Market in New York, Northern New Jersey, and Connecticut. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Hi, we're back on A Taste of the Past talking about pretzels with Hans Rockenwagner. And what would Oktoberfest be without pretzels? And you know, some people, particularly in Switzerland, will not get married unless they have a pretzel to the with the spouses, the husband and wife, tear apart a pretzel, and that is the tying of, well, it's untying of the knot, but I guess that sort of symbolizes the tying of the knot. I'm talking with Hans Rockenwagner from California, and he's got the Rockenwagner Bakery Group. And Hans, I said, oh, yes, indeed, we were talking about New Yorkers loving their pretzels from the street vendors. But you know, it's interesting because I had read that pretzels were one of the earliest things sold in streets, pushcarts, in Europe and in America, from probably the mid-1400s. Do you think the holes, we were talking about the meaning of the holes, and they had all kinds of religious meaning. Maybe it was just so they could be put on a stick and they were easier to carry?
You think it was just because of convenience reasons, so they could be stacked and hung and displayed in many different ways?
Who knows?
I could buy into that one as well, but I do think that first came the shape, and then came the application. Let's put it that way.
Sounds good to me. Okay, you say that you have many different types of pretzels that you're making at your bakeries, and I read that you have different flavored ones or different seeds on them or different things. But I also read that you have come out with a chocolate covered pretzel. A soft bread.
Well, there's actually several things we do with chocolate and pretzel because, again, now these days people are really seeking out products that have salty and sweet at the same time. And what would signify that better than a salty pretzel with nice sweet chocolate? We make these tiny little pretzel baguettes. And after they cool down, we slice them open, butterfly style, and pipe in a delicious chocolate ganache. A chocolate ganache is simply chocolate with heavy cream.
And it's
almost like an eclair, pretzel eclair.
Do you have a special name for it?
We call it the mini chocolate baguette, pretzel baguette.
Pretzel baguette. Come on, you got to do better than that. You got to compete with Dominique Ancel's Krona, right? You got to come up with some good name for it. That sounds absolutely delicious and decadent, I might add. Sounds terrific. And
we've also made a chocolate bread pudding. Because obviously we have a lot of leftover pretzels at certain days, and we decided to make a chocolate bread pudding, which has gotten to be very popular.
Oh, I'll bet. I mean, that's what could be better than that? And you get that little saltiness in it, and again, you know, from the pretzels. And I was looking over some of the other types of flavors all over the world. I mean, there are. Of course, we think of the big soft pretzels and mustard. I mean, that was pretzels and mustard. That was something that always went together, especially I think that from, you know, the German Oktoberfest and eating the pretzels. But now, as you say, dipped in chocolate. Of course, you see the hard pretzels dipped in yogurt and chocolate all the time. But a lot of soft pretzels served with cheese, soft cheeses, and nuts and seeds and glazes.
Yes, I think actually, do you know what the the custom of doing mustard with pretzel is very much an American thing.
Oh, really?
It's not so much a German or European thing that I have found. The most common way for Germans to eat a pretzel is with some really good fresh butter. And so what you do is you either have the soft butter and you just dip the pretzel in the butter, or you you literally slice the pretzel open and spread it with a nice thick layer of butter. You cover it up again with the other piece, and you eat it like that, and it is delicious. It is a combination that it's one of those combinations that stick in your mind and you won't forget.
You don't have to convince me. It sounds terrific. You know, I read some, you mentioned sweet pretzels that were made on New Year's Day, and they were given to sweethearts. You know, the larger the pretzel, yes, the more the love. What about the tradition? Do you know anything about the tradition, supposedly on New Year's Day, of children wearing them perhaps strung around their neck?
I've heard it and I've seen it, but it's not part of the region where I'm from.
Mm-hmm. And I heard mention of it. I don't know anything.
Very often in festivals like beer fests and things like that, the kids would walk around with a string around their neck and a pretzel hanging from it. And you would see little nibbles taken out of the pretzel as the day went on. But the pretzel still had its shape, sort of. That's always a funny picture.
Yeah, I bet. It's like, who can finish the pretzel around their neck first, right? Yeah, that would be great. I would love it. Well, I really have to say that I don't know when and why or how this recognition day started. Do you know anything about this recognition day?
You know, I think what happened is in Pennsylvania, it's so part of their culture and their identity in Pennsylvania that they decided to do this. I think it's a great idea. You know, let's hope it catches on.
And, why not?
People will recognize it more and more.
That's true.
It'll Why become not? A national holiday. How about that?
Yeah. And the 26th of April. I don't really know why that is in particular. I mean, is it always in April? Do we know? Or is this in how long it's been going on? I'm going to have to do a little sleuthing on that one, right? And find out. Well,
yeah,
Chef Hans, thank you so much for joining me today. It's really has been a treat, but the real treat is to come into your bakery and try that chocolate pretzel baguette. That is something that's on my bucket list, let's put it that way. And good luck to you and all the pretzel making at your bakeries. And thanks again for sharing any history that we have on the pretzel. It's still kind of a fair game for open discovery, and I have a good time with all the folklore that's out there about it, because what a fun thing to talk about, a pretzel.
The definitive story has not been written yet.
That's right. Thanks again for joining me, and thank you for listening. I'm your host, Linda Palacio, and this has been A Taste of the Past.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.